Thank you all for coming. And is this loud enough? Too loud? My drill sergeant voice is carrying okay. Good. If I look like I have a fat lip, I had dental work this morning, and this side of my mouth is still a bit weird. So if I sound strange, it's just that I think I'm unfrozen, but I'm still kind of lumpy from whatever happened. So the title I gave to the talk I want to give tonight is The Importance of Forgiveness. And it's been a big theme in my life for a while. And I'll talk more about why later, sort of at the end of the talk. But it's not just a big theme in my life. I'm going to start with a quote by Bishop Desmond Tutu. Without forgiveness, there is no future. Now, in the context, he was speaking about South Africa, of course, and he and Nelson Mandela were both very, very conscious of the need to forgive, even though they had been imprisoned and beaten and all the horrible things that had gone on over. Through apartheid, through all those years, many, many years, they realized right at the beginning that if there wasn't forgiveness, that the country would fall apart. And so they put a lot of emphasis into this. And this wasn't just from that political point of view, especially from Desmond Tutu, he was echoing a very prominent Christian belief. You see this very strongly in all Christian practices. If you look at the wide variety of Christian churches and teachings and forms, and there's many, many, many hundreds of them, they all have one thing in common, which is really interesting. One thing in particular that strikes me as in common is they all have as a focus the Lord's Prayer, which has, of course, in it, "Forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgressed against us." So it's built right in to Christianity. I mean, the Lord's Prayer was one of the final teachings that Jesus gave his disciples. It was the Last Supper. He was giving him his final instructions because he knew he wasn't going to see them anymore. And this is what he talked about, forgiveness. And then right at the very end, there he is on the cross, nailed to the cross by these guys who were standing down there watching him die. And what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them." So he's teaching purely by example in this case, but it's like, it's just all through Christian teaching, forgiveness. The interesting thing, I think, is that this isn't just a Christian thing at all. If you start looking at other religious and contemplative traditions, you'll find forgiveness in many, many different forms and places. And the internet's wonderful, isn't it? I did some research. And this is from the Jewish tradition, from a text called the Siddur. And it's a prayer for forgiveness in the Jewish tradition. "I forgive all those who may have hurt or aggravated me, either physically, monetarily, or emotionally, whether unknowingly or willfully, whether accidentally or intentionally, whether in speech or in action, whether in this incarnation or another, and may no person be punished on account of me." It's a pretty. I like that last part. "No person may be punished on account of me." That's forgiveness. Then this is from the Quran. "O Lord, we have sinned against ourselves. And unless you grant us forgiveness and bestow your mercy upon us, we shall most certainly be lost." And this is from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, verse 3, for those of you who are fans of this. "O Arjuna, radiance, forgiveness, fortitude, purity, freedom from malice, absence of pride, arise in one born of the divine nature." Right up there at the big list of important things that come when you become God. This is in chapter 16 of the Gita. This is right after Krishna's revealed himself in all his glory, and Arjuna's like totally blown away. And then Krishna says, by the way, this is what it's like to be like that. And so it's interesting. But there's like very, I mean, they're all, these all have different flavors, but it's in every place I look. I would Google Muslim forgiveness and get like 47 things listed. And I could search through and find it. It was just fascinating to me how much this idea of forgiveness occurred over and over and over in all these different contexts. So I guess the question then becomes, why is forgiveness so important? And once again, I'm going to go back to Desmond Tutu. To forgive is not just to be altruistic. It is the best form of self-interest. It's an act of healing, forgiveness. Healing yourself, healing the other, and healing the relationship between the two. So where does forgiveness fit in the Buddhist tradition? I think the best place to start when we think about that is think about the Eightfold Path and right effort. Right effort has four aspects to it, and the first two are mainly what I want to talk about tonight. The first aspect of right effort is do what you can to make sure that unwholesome mind states do not arise. And then the second part is if an unwholesome mind state has arisen, do what you can to get rid of it. That's right effort. From the Buddhist tradition. That's straight out of the Buddhist teachings, out of the first teaching he ever gave when he first gave the Eightfold Path. So it seems pretty central. And you can think of forgiveness in that context, where forgiveness is a way to change the mind state so that unwholesome mind states don't arise, or if they have arisen, to help dissipate them. And there's three different aspects of forgiveness I want to look at. Asking for forgiveness for ourselves, from others, forgiving others, and forgiving ourselves. These are three different things we have to think about when we think about forgiveness. And they have different flavors, I suppose, would be the best thing. And the first thing I want to mention is that talk about asking for forgiveness. It's an incredibly courageous thing to do. To ask for forgiveness. Because in asking for forgiveness, you're basically saying, geez, I screwed up. Or much worse. And you're basically exposing yourself to this other, and maybe to many others. You're like letting your heart open wide and saying, please. There's a please in this forgiveness. You know, please forgive me. You're asking for something that is difficult to ask because it is an admittance of error. You know, things where normally would just, I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. Or we'll think of some excuse why it happened, or we'll shift it around some way in our mind so that we can make it into not quite so bad, or we'll just shut it away. Don't want to think about that. Instead, we're just opening our hearts wide. And there's a wonderful poem. You know, yeah, I have to have poetry in my Dharma talk, so. That sort of describes what this is like to be this open-hearted in a unpleasant way. I mean, this isn't pleasant. It might be the result might be pleasant, but the process will be not very pleasant. So this is a poem by Michael Lunig called When the Heart. When the heart is cut or cracked or broken, do not clutch it. Let the wound lie open. Let the wind from the good old sea blow in, to bathe the wound with salt and let it sting. Let a stray dog lick it. Let a bird lean in the hole and sing a simple song like a tiny bell and let it ring. That's where we got to go, to that place of open, exposed, painful place. But we have to do this in our lives. We all, well, I shouldn't say all, I know. Probably all. We all do unskillful things at times. We all do things that we go, you know, or much worse than, oh my God, it's like other words we might use. And by not seeking forgiveness, we basically get caught in unwholesome mind states. You know, where aversion arises. Don't want to think about that. Don't want to go there. Shame, remorse. These are all really painful, unwholesome states of mind. And instead, what forgiveness does is it says, yeah, I did that. I accept that I was unskillful, that I was unwholesome. I actually accept that there are parts of me that aren't that great sometimes. Being careful, of course, not to beat yourself up about this, which just is another unwholesome mind state. Yeah, but just accepting that this is part of being human. There's a great saying by, I think it's attributed to the third Zen patriarch, that sums up this sort of attitude, I think. A wise man is one who is content with his own imperfections. The key word there is content. Not happy about, but content. I'm okay with the fact that I'm not perfect. A wise, and this is so counter to what we're taught by our culture, right? Our whole culture says, no, you're supposed to be perfect. All the time, that's what we're told. You're supposed to be perfect. A wise man is one who is content with his own imperfections. So, now I want to talk a little bit about practice. Because each of the three areas of forgiveness I want to talk about has an actual form of practice that we can work with, to work with the idea of forgiveness in a more formal way in our sitting practice. And I want to actually do this tonight with all of you. And when I was given instructions about this, the key instruction for me was, I'm going to repeat a phrase, I'm going to give you a phrase and we're going to repeat it together. I'll say it out loud for a while, then we'll be silent for a couple of minutes and you can repeat it to yourself. And as you're repeating the phrase, just have that open-hearted feeling and see what arises. Often who arises. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, I didn't want to, you know. It's sometimes kind of scary that stuff will arise. It might be not that pleasant what's about to happen. But be with that and be okay and be content with your imperfections. But this is a way of tuning in to things we've forgotten and pushed away that need to be looked at. That, think of it in that context. So the phrase I want to use, and this is one that I was taught, so that's why I'm using it, is, if I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. I'll repeat that and then I'll talk a little bit about it. If I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. I think the words knowingly or unknowingly are very interesting. Because often we do things somewhat mindlessly, perhaps, as opposed to mindfully. But even we can be quite mindful. It's sort of, we think we've got it all together. Maybe we do have it all together. But we'll say something or do something that really offends or bothers somebody else. And we're like totally oblivious. That person is hurting. And we need to ask their forgiveness. We weren't skillful enough to, you know, we just blurted, usually. This has to do with right speech, often. We just blurted something out. I'll give you a little example. You're invited by a friend to go to a new restaurant. And you're going to meet some other people that friend knows there. And you go to the restaurant, and you're sitting there, and you're just eating the food, and your friend's there, and these other people that are friends of your friend are there, and you don't really know them that well, and you're eating the food. And someone says, well, what do you think of the food? And you say something like, it's sort of so-so. You know, I mean, you just, you know, this is a casual opinion. Little do you know that the person who asked is the partner of the owner. And you're going, as your friend tells you later, oh my, I wish I hadn't said that. That's totally unknowingly. It wasn't like willful, malicious, but it was a little unskillful. It was like, well, you know, my mother used to say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. I think my mother has great wisdom still, I think, in my life. So anyhow, that's that last little phrase bit. And then one other thing I want to mention is if people do arise, actual people, as you are repeating this phrase, don't forget that. And think about, maybe I should actually say this out loud to this person, which is a much more difficult thing to do than sit here and say the phrases. But sometimes that's what needs to be done. Be careful when you do that. I mean, some people don't handle someone coming in saying, forgive me, very well. And know that that might actually aggravate them. But it might be something that you need to do for yourself. As I was doing my research, another thing I found that was really interesting is in the Jewish tradition, if you ask for forgiveness three times, after that, it's the other person's problem, not yours. Sounds good to me, you know. But it's like, you have to, that has to be, you know, you can't just sort of, well, forgive me, you know, sort of slip it off. But if you sincerely ask for forgiveness three times, and the person refuses three times, now it's, here, you catch this ball now, you know. So, okay, you know, back to the practice. So what I'd like to do is just sit really quietly and very still. And I'll say this out loud three or four times so you sort of get the words. And then just repeat the words silently to yourself. And at the same time, just tune in to what's going on. See if there's any reaction in the body, any tension. See if there's any particular person who comes to mind that you might need to ask for forgiveness from. If I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. If I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. If I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. If I've hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask for your forgiveness. Now just keep going on your own. There's one other thing I want to mention before we go on. Don't have any expectations that something's going to happen because you're doing this practice. This is about your mind state. All of these practices. This is like metta practice, loving kindness practice, compassion. All of those practices have to do with changing your mind states. And whether or not the person or people that come to mind ever know doesn't really make any difference. It could be that these people, you know, the person who came to mind is someone who's totally gone from your life, could even have passed away. So there's no way you can ever actually ask them. But it's in feeling that need for forgiveness that you release yourself from these things. So you're changing you, changing your heart. That's what's important. Let's move on to forgiving others. And once again, I'm going back to Desmond Tutu. He's great. He's got so many good things I read. So this is however, when I talk of forgiveness, I mean the belief that you can come out the other side a better person than the one being consumed by anger and hatred. Remaining in that state locks you in a state of victimhood, making you almost dependent on the perpetrator. If you can find it in yourself to forgive, then you are no longer chained to the perpetrator. Strong language. Chained. What a great image. The problem with a lot of hatred and anger, is what he's talking about here in particular, is we have stories that we all tell ourselves. You know, so and so did such and such, and what a jerk they are, and blah 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 blah. And they've done. I was done wrong, or you know. And these stories, we tell them to ourselves over and over and over. You know, you're sitting there quietly watching your breath, and then you remember that guy in 10th grade. Such a jerk, you know. And then that whole story's there, and it's like, and you feel the anger or the hatred or the fear arises, and you experience it in the body, and it's unwholesome. This is an unwholesome mind state again. It's a place that where you're all wound up about something that happened 30 years ago. But we all do this. It's just part of being human again. We carry this stuff. And we identify ourselves as that person who got done wrong. This is one of the big ways we create our own self-image. It's by all the things that have been done wrong to us. That's the primary source of our self-image. I'm this poor person who all these terrible things happen to. Not everybody's like this, but everybody has some of this in them, and some people, this is like their main life story. You know, those people who are always complaining to you about how hard their life is, and that's what's going on. They're caught by their anger and their hatred and their fear. They're chained by it. And what this practice will allow us to do is, you know, break those chains. By breaking out of that space of fear or anger or hatred towards another. This does not mean, however, and this is very important, that asking or forgiving someone in any way condones what they've done. This is very important. It doesn't mean that what they did was okay. There are lots of horrible things that happen out there in the world all the time to everyone. I mean, we've all had unpleasant experiences. Some people way more extreme than I can imagine unpleasant experiences. dealing with other people. And you don't, in any way, by forgiving them, condone the act. What you do is, by forgiving them, is acknowledge that they're human just like you. That they have faults. They are unskillful just like I am. But you don't say, in any sense, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay you did that or you said that or whatever. You're not condoning the act at all. In fact, the other thing that people get caught in, and this is kind of new agey, is, oh, I'm supposed to love these people. No. You don't have to love these people. You have to forgive them, which is a very different thing. In fact, you don't even have to like them. You have to forgive them. You have to let go of that anger and hatred and fear that's chaining you. Remember what I said? This is all about changing you. Whether or not you'll ever change them, whether or not it's possible to change them, like I said, they could be gone from your life, they could be dead, who knows? They could be in a state where they're just not open to change. Who knows? You can't want that to happen. You know, this is a great quote. I forget who this is, but it says, forgiveness simply means giving up all hope of a different past. I think that's a pretty good way to think about it. You know, we just, okay, I just need to let that go. I can't let this grip me any longer. So, excuse me. The phrase here is just taking the first phrase and flipping it around. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. Simple as that. Now, if you're like me, you're going to run into people. This was the hard one for me. And this person would keep coming up, and I'd go, how can I forgive that? And it's okay to experience. That's just part of the process. It's like, it's going to happen sometimes. And then just as much as you can, with that open heart, let go of that energy. And it may be necessary that you change the phrase from I forgive you to it is my intention to forgive you someday. Or it's my intention to forgive you in the future. In other words, I'm forming an intention to forgive because that's the best I can do right now. And that might be a skillful way to shift that this phrase, especially if there's a particular person that comes up that there's that jolt of, ugh, that you can't deal with forgiving them. Step by step. Doesn't have to be, I don't have to be perfect the first time round and forgive everybody all the time. This is a process. And they're going to be difficult people. So, let's sit again. Same idea. Just comfortable. Like, all of these sort of practices, like metta and compassion, it's really important that you're comfortable. It's really hard to feel forgiving if you're uncomfortable and grumpy. So sit comfortably, but awake. And then as I did last time, I'll repeat the phrase several times, and then I'll be quiet for a little bit, and you can repeat it to yourself. See, just see what happens. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive you. And keep that up silently. Once again, be very careful not to have any expectations. Don't expect that person you just forgave to know or to change in any way or to react in any way at all. It might happen. I'll tell you a story about that actually later. But just, this is about changing your heart so you're not chained by anger and fear and hatred, that you're letting go, lightening the load. The last of the three, we have to forgive ourselves. This is usually the hardest one for people, I think. For a lot of people. It has a lot to do with that idea of accepting what we've done. It's hard to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to believe that not only have I done unskillful things, but in the future I'll do more. Bound to happen. Yeah, I'm just, suppose if we're one day all enlightened, maybe that's not going to be true, but at least for me, it's still very true. It's part of, but it's like part of being human. And the part of it is it's so much easier in some ways to just wallow in self-blame. That's the danger of what I'm talking about tonight, is it's so easy to fall into that space where so bad. I just screw everything up all the time. You know, just fall into that cycle of self-blame. And you have to watch for that carefully, especially with this third one, that you don't go there. That this is about lightening, not adding another 7 more layers of burden on top of what already is there. And it's part of that is our culture. There's a really interesting story about the Dalai Lama. When he first came to the West, he was giving a public talk, and someone, he still didn't have, he had no English at the time, so he had doing everything through a translator. And someone stood up and asked the question that went something along the lines of, you know, how do you deal with feelings of self-hatred? And the translator translated it to the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama went, so I'm like, what? And he said, check, make sure that's what the question was. So the translators, can you say that again? And the Dalai Lama just didn't get it. Because from the culture he came from, where everyone had a place in the within the culture and the structure of the village and the country and the religion, this idea of self-hatred was like, huh? Why would anybody ever go there? It was like, it was a foreign idea to him. He'd never encountered anybody thinking that way, which is interesting. But in our culture, it's the opposite. This is like the major mental disease of our culture. And our culture encourages us to think of ourselves as bad or inadequate. I'm not good enough is basically the central message of every advertisement you'll ever see. I used to be in marketing, so I know. I mean, basically every commercial that says, you don't have this, you're not good enough. That's a successful commercial. If you don't have this, you're not good enough. Because then you're going to buy it, because then you're going to be good enough. I mean, it's like simple psychology. It's sad, but it's true. And we get this over and over and over. Like, think of how many commercials you see every day. Right? Thousands of commercial impressions blasted into your brain every day. But I was sort of curious about this. There's a little sideline into understanding this. And that is the self-help book industry. I was curious, you know, because you think about it. Think about, and it's enormous. It's an enormous industry. Like, people writing books to tell you how wrong you are and how you can fix it. That's the definition of the self-help book industry, basically. And so I once again did some more research, and I went on to Amazon under self-help books, and these are a few of the titles from the top 20 or 30 best sellers in the self-help category on Amazon. Just get to see how these feel, right? Healing Your Emotional Self, a powerful program to help you raise your self-esteem, quiet your inner critic, and overcome your shame. When Am I Going to Be Happy? How to Break the Emotional Bad Habits That Make You Miserable. Change Your Life and Everyone in It. The Self-Esteem Workbook. The 10 Best Ever Anxiety Management Techniques. The Success Principles. How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. The last two are a little, I had to have a little humor here. The Single Woman's Sassy Survival Guide. Letting Go and Moving On. And this last one I have to actually edit a little bit. The Universe Doesn't Give a Flying Beep About You. Imagine, what a great, that makes you feel really good, huh, that last one? The Universe Doesn't Give a Flying Beep About You. But this is our culture. This is how, and people consume these one after another, looking for, oh, maybe this book will help me figure out how to be okay. It's just, it's no surprise that we have trouble forgiving ourselves because we're told we're wrong all the time, over and over and over again. And the other thing about all those titles, if you think about them, is who is at the center of all of these? Me. Capital M, capital E. Me. I'm the center of all of this activity. Right? My teacher, Carol Wilson, has a great phrase that describes in one sentence the message, the primary message of our culture to everyone. It's, pardon me, I'm a little piece of shit that the world revolves around. And that pretty much sums it up. Huh? So, what we're working with here, forgiving ourselves releases us from these unwholesome negative self-images. That's what forgiving ourselves does. It says, I'm okay. I'm more than okay. So the last phrase is a bit longer. For the ways that I've hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive myself. For the ways that I've hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, covers all the bases here, I forgive myself. Okay, so let's just work with this one a little bit. So sit up straight again. Take a deep breath. I've been talking a lot, you're getting tired, so just energize a little bit. For the ways that I've hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive myself. for the ways that I have hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive myself. For the ways that I have hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive myself. For the ways that I have hurt or harmed others or myself, knowingly or unknowingly, I forgive myself. Say that a few more times to yourself. So these three phrases cover the three different aspects of forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness, offering forgiveness to others, and forgiving yourself. And all three of these are right effort. They're very distinctly Buddhist in their nature. In fact, all three of these phrases came from James Barras, who is one of my teachers. And I'm not sure where he got them from, whether he made them up. I wouldn't surprise me if he had, but he may have gotten them from someone else. But I'm just passing them on. I'll tell you a little bit about why I wanted to do this tonight. It's about 3 months ago, I went on a month-long sit. And a few months before that time, I'd become aware of quite an unskillful pattern in my relating to other people, one that had been lifelong, quite discouraging to see it, but there it was. And I wanted to work with it on this sit. So my very first interview with Guy, he says, well, what do you want to do this time? You know, he always asks me, what do you want to do? And we have a little discussion about what I'm going to do for practice. And I told him about this certain situation and you know, this whole pattern I saw, and the first words out of his mouth were, you should do forgiveness practice. It's the first thing he said. It had never occurred to me in all my struggle in thinking about this stuff that was going on, that that would be the first thing I should do. But that was the first thing he said. So I took up the practice. I actually took each of these three phrases, and he said that the practice was just one sit a day, 5 minutes for each phrase. So 15 minutes a day is all I had to do. Just repeat these phrases. And as I said, see what comes up. See what comes up. So I was doing this while I was part of my long sit, and then when I came home, I made it part of my... I do two sits in the morning. My second sit was I would chant the Metta Sutta to sort of get my heart in the right place, and then I'd do forgiveness practice. I did that for about... I just actually stopped doing that about a week or so ago. But a really interesting thing happened to me. And I just wanted to share this with you. There was a person, it was about 8 years ago, who I'd had a very difficult interaction with that had caused a lot of suffering for me and for this other person and for other people around it. It was a very messy situation, shall we say. And in my practice, I hadn't even thought about her. It was really just for some reason I pushed that away so deep I didn't want to think about that one, right? So 2 weeks after I'm back, I'm just merely typing away on Facebook. Up pops a little Facebook message from her, saying, I'd love to talk to you on the phone. And my initial reaction was, ugh. Uh-oh. You know, what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back to that space. Who wants to deal with that? But it was like, no, you've been doing all these forgiveness practices, Barry. You know, pay attention. He was like, pay attention. You know? So I wrote back, and we exchanged phone numbers. And the next day, we talked on the phone for like half an hour. And everything's gone. It was just like the whole thing, the whole story cleared just like that. It's like this big weight that I've been carrying around just gone. And I thought about it and I said, what a coincidence that 6 weeks after I started doing forgiveness practice, after 8 years had gone by, this person would contact me out of the blue and clear the air. And we're now Facebook friends. Figure that, eh? Which is a pretty mild form of friendship, but I mean, you know, it's like, but it's just like, so this practice has a great power, I think. Not just in that way, but in I can see it's really changed a lot of my thinking about interactions with people and really helped me understand the toxicity of this old pattern that I had that seems to be dissipated, not gone, but it's dissipating at least. So I, from personal experience, I highly recommend these practices. If you want to write down the phrases, if you don't remember them, I'll leave this out after. Or you can email me and I'll send you them. But we have about 8 minutes left. And I'd love to have time just for you to share what you experienced doing these practices, or to tell a story, or to ask a question. Any of the above? None of the above? All of the above? Jay has his handy microphone ready. So just go ahead. Speak if you want to speak. And I think sharing might be a very useful thing. Like, what was it like to, even, you know, if they sort of give detailed, we don't want the gory details. But what did it feel like? What did it feel like to ask for forgiveness or to forgive someone that maybe you'd never even occurred to you that you might do that?
First, I want to thank you, Barry. Wonderful talk. Really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Even before we started the practices, once you laid out where you were going, I was flooded with relationship, particularly past and present relationships that I had to almost let go of during the practice, the actual practice itself, so that I could be open to whatever else would come up. It was so dominating. So that was one thing that stood out for me. And then I also kind of noticed how my reactivity plays into this. When a perceived hurt, I would lash out either mostly in my brain, you know, not necessarily verbally, as may be in my Scorpio nature, perhaps, but I don't know. I don't know about that, but just the reactivity to want to, when I felt hurt coming towards me, wanting to return the hurt, maybe in spades.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really clear. So a lot of the first instances of being hurt after asking for forgiveness, or in the situations where I was hurt, I was also asking for forgiveness from the person for my hurting them, and full circle,
yep,
for myself, and just, you know, responding in that way. So that was,
yeah,
it's great.
It's interesting to see those. What this practice does, I think, is it brings up those old patterns that we haven't looked at from this. It's like a different point of view on those old patterns. That we see it from look what I've been doing all these years. Just seeing it in a slightly different way sometimes gives us a way to grab onto them and really look at them. And that's why I think the practice is so valuable, because it does open us to this other view. So I'm glad it worked.
Thank you.
Thank you for this talk, Barry. I love forgiveness practice, and I just had two things to share. One, I think that when you repetitively do forgiveness practice, you have these repeat offenders that are constantly popping up. And I love in time how that changes and that softens, and these figures, you know, these people that you're relating to you in this practice, I just find throughout my short-lived life and doing these practices, they tend to be the people of which I send the most metta to. And I think it's only through forgiveness practice that really opens that sense of the heart to do that. And then the other thing that I love to share, and I think it might be like this new trend, because I think I've heard a spell off of new forgiveness practice, is the intention to forgive. But also sometimes in forgiveness practices, we're not always popping up these deep pains or, you know, things to forgive. And so sometimes I really sit with the intention to forgive for the future. And I just love that. It's the sense of metta that is, may I forgive in the future? And really extending that outward of, may everyone forgive in the future? And I personally love that thought, because it allows that seed to be planted for this sense of forgiveness, only knowing that we will be unskillful and other people will be unskillful for the future. So, but thank you for your talk, Barry.
This is very related to metta practice, in particular metta practice with a difficult person. In the formal metta practice, one of the categories is the difficult person. And we all have at least one of those, right? And forgiveness practice is something you can add on. You know, if you're having real difficulties with a difficult person, then forgiveness practice is often a place you can go to that, like you say, softens that. So it's a very skillful way to look at metta, and forgiveness are sort of intertwined, very much so. So probably have time for one more, and then we have to.
I think the biggest moment of forgiveness for me was not so much anything about formal practice, but really when my dad died, and I remember going to him and having to take care of him. You know, I had to feed him and help clean him. And there had been a lot of anger in there and a lot of resentment on both sides, right? I mean, and I just remember with just the activity of taking care of him and realizing, look, he is just like any other human being. He's just has his strengths and has his weaknesses. But just taking care of him, feeding him, and cleaning him, that was a process of forgiveness, right? Totally unformalized or so, but simply by doing that and doing it in a caring way, it dissolved a huge amount of stuff.
Great. Forgiveness in action is probably one of the most powerful forms. So that's great. That's wonderful. Okay. So let's just dedicate the merit briefly. May the beneficial energies arising from our practice here together today become the causes and conditions for the end of suffering and the awakening of all beings everywhere. Thank you for your kind attention.